My name is Jared Remley, Community Director here at The Well, and welcome to Shepherding Community. The question I want to start off with you guys is this, is what is a shepherd? When you define a shepherd in your head or you hear that word, what do you say? What do you think of? It can be one word, phrases, anything.
Protector.
A protector, good.
Nurturer.
Nurturer, good. I like that. We're going to read a text here and let come alongside. Mentor, good.
Guide.
And one of the phrases we use around here is not a sage from the stage, but a guide by the side, meaning not some guy who's going to be up there and go, hey, people, let me teach you, but a guide by their side. They're just going to walk side along and say, here we go, let's do this.
Somebody who prepares because a shepherd in the Bible would have to prepare a field and look out for the future, for like where they're going to get water. And so somebody that's taking care of things before they get there.
I like the idea of preparation or responsibility. That'd be good. Well, you see on your handout there, I'm always fascinated by Webster's dictionary and their definitions for some things. Some things I'm just like, eh. But then some things you just look into them and you're like, really? I don't know if Webster himself did this or it's just the idea, but there's sometimes I'm just like, I look at the dictionary and I go, I wonder. The noun definition is a person who tends sheep. That's what they say. And then the verb has a couple of things there. One and two are the verbs. To tend as a shepherd, to guide or guard in the manner of a shepherd. I just thought some of those words were fascinating from Webster's. One thing I want to hear from you is that word tend there. When you read the noun definition, a person who tends sheep, what do you guys put to the table or put to the board here as the word tend to mean? Give attention to. And I'm a bad speller, so if it shows up funky.
Take care of. I'm going to go back to prepare.
Tending. There's a preparation idea for tending.
Watches over.
Say it again.
Watches over.
Man, there's one of the texts we'll focus on this morning. That's the key. Watching over. Guards. Protects.
Active.
Yeah. A shepherd is never really passive or lazy. And sometimes leading, especially in small groups, can be an easy place for a lazy person to hide and let a curriculum or whatever, or let a talking person rule the group. And hopefully we're going to flip that upside down today and look at it. I like those. Those are good. What else? Anything? Caring. Okay. Caring for those sheep. There's a nearness. From a shepherd, a proximity. I don't shepherd a flock of sheep that's in Arkansas.
Lost.
Looks for the lost. Maybe one or two more. Well, those are good. That's a good list of tending. I left you some blanks to maybe fill in there, ideas that have come to mind or people's suggestions that they've made to put in. Some of the things I've put have all been mentioned. Pay attention to, watch over, oversee. That you look at them and go, that's my flock. That's my flock. The three big words, you know, that we put there and kind of what we would stamp as the shepherding role is a protector, a provider, and a motivator. And your sheep can take on various forms. It may be a life group. It may be students. It may be a team you're a part of that you oversee. And how are you protecting them? How are you providing for them? How are you motivating them to do the things that they do, to be the sheep, per se, that God's called them to be? Some questions to remember. I want to take some biblical traces of shepherding, not because I can read a lot of text and take up time, because I want you to see very clearly that from Genesis to Revelation, This idea of shepherding is a thing of God, and it's something that the people, both in ancient times and in New Testament times, and even us now, would understand, the idea of shepherding. Probably more so back then because it was so agricultural-led. But the idea of a shepherd is not some singular text or singular idea. It was actually from the first to the last book there. So if you have your Bibles, open them up to Genesis 48. I'll be reading as well all the way through. So if you didn't bring your Bibles, that's no problem. You'll be able to hear from me. Genesis 48, you're reaching the end of the book as people Joseph and the Jews are heading into Egypt. And in verse 15, there's a blessing that Joseph is giving that's going out. And it's an interesting prayer that Joseph gives. So listen to this. A blessing coming to Joseph. He blessed Joseph and said this: "The God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has been my shepherd all my life to this day, the angel who has redeemed me from evil, bless the lads, and may my name live on in them, and the names of my fathers and Abraham and Isaac, and may they grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth." So you see this idea of God being a shepherd early on, directing his people early on, and that same idea was passed down through a prayer saying, may these people of God go be a blessing. And ultimately Joseph and Abraham and all those people following would be shepherds of those people. David, as we'll see, was a shepherd king that was prophesied about. Flipping ahead to Numbers 27. Numbers, they're in the wilderness here. They've experienced receiving the law, the priesthood, what a tabernacle is, a place of worship. And now they're in this wilderness, per se, and the spies have gone out and their fears have come back. And they've said, we can't overtake that land that God has promised us. And what's the word here in Numbers 27:17? It's this. I'll start in 16. Moses is, the Lord speaking to Moses, spoke to the Lord, and so this is Moses' heart. "May the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, appoint a man over the congregation who will go out and come in before them, who will lead them out and bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord may not be like sheep which have no shepherd." So there's this period of life that Moses is requesting. These people need a leader. They need direction. They need people to care for them. They can't do it on their own. So he's pleading for it. And you'll see through disobedience that Moses doesn't get to be that guy, and actually Joshua steps in and then moves in through all those conquests and battles in life. But even Moses is recognizing this idea of a people in need of a shepherd. Psalm 23, probably one of the classic texts on what a shepherd is. You've probably been to art shows or different things that deal with this, and everybody's heard it. I want to read to you. Just, you know, think of imagery of a shepherd here. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul, guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." And can you feel the things and kind of the Lord doing those things along the way? Isaiah 40:11. This is one of the most intimate pictures you'll have prophesied about who Christ is. Isaiah 40:11, "Like a shepherd he will tend his flock. In his arm he will gather the lambs and carry them in his bosom. He will gently lead the nursing ewes." So you get this idea of a very contrasting picture of who God is, this reigning God that brings down judgment, caring for his people, and putting them like lambs in his arms. It's a very affectionate description there. Ezekiel 34, which Brad mentioned this morning, many of you have probably read in your Life Journal experience, and I hope it was as fascinating to you as it has been to us as a staff. Listen to the beginning of this. This is a prophecy going out to leaders of nations, as well as to the leaders of God's people. And I say can transcribe in today's age as the leaders of God's people today. "Then the word of the Lord," verse 1, "came to me saying, 'Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to those shepherds, thus says the Lord God, woe! Shepherds of Israel who have been feeding themselves, should not the shepherds feed the flock? You eat the fat and clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fat sheep without feeding the flock. Those who are sickly you have not strengthened, and the diseased you have not healed. The broken you have not bound up. The scattered you have not brought back. Nor have you sought for the lost. But with force and with severity you have dominated them." They were scattered for lack of a shepherd, and they became food for every beast of the field and were scattered. My flock wandered through all the mountains and on every high hill. My flock was scattered over all the surface of the earth, and there was no one to search or seek for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, declares the Lord God, surely because of my flock has become a prey, my flock has even become food for all the beasts of the field lack a shepherd, and my shepherds did not search for my flock, but rather the shepherds fed themselves and did not feed my flock. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Behold, I am against the shepherds, and I shall demand my sheep from them and make them cease from feeding sheep. So the shepherds will not feed themselves anymore, but I shall deliver my flock from their mouth, and they may not be food for them. It's an interesting and fascinating prophecy. 33, the chapter before this, talks about being a watchman over those people. And in that, I just see that's a strong warning for leadership. That you can consume off your group, off your people. You can consume and think that this is for me. I'm the one doing this. And I'm going to take that person's development or that person's victory over trial as my food. And if that one person shows up at your group or on your team or what event have you and doesn't come back anymore, do you feel responsible to go out and seek that lost person? Because you should. And we as a staff are going to look to you guys and say, the people who start in your group and in your teams are your people. They're your responsibility. And if one walks away, guess who we're coming to? That's a paradigm shift for a small group leader. If someone doesn't show up or doesn't come, am I still going to call them, pray for them, seek them out? A lot of times people say, no, they chose not to come. Mm-mm. You're responsible. And we should heed that warning well. And know that if we give it our all, and it's not going to be perfect at the end of the day, we're not going to have these amazing victory stories every time, but it's just that pursuit of us trying to follow God and be responsible for our sheep in that, that we're going to be made better. Flip into the New Testament, again, following this theme of shepherding all the way through Scripture. John 10, another classic kind of text on shepherding. Listen to this, who it's talking in the context here. Jesus is making imagery to salvation ultimately, to that there is one way, and we are narrow-minded as a people. So when people say you're narrow-minded, say, actually, yes, we are. Not offensively and not arrogantly, but we're narrow-minded because we say, you know what, there's one way to come to God. There's one way to the Father. Listen to this in the ideas of him talking himself as our ultimate shepherd. 10 verse 1. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. A stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. So Jesus is talking here about salvation. Ultimately, you've got to come through Christ. But my friends, the question for you is this. Do your sheep know your voice? Do they really know you? That they see you as the person of influence in their life? And when the world comes to a train wreck, do they look to you as their leader, as their shepherd for that? Or do they think they need to go somewhere else to find it? And from the smallest person, from students, from kids and kids in action, all the way up to a life group that's been seasoned for many years. Do they know your voice? And you have this pen, you have this realm of sheep that you're going to have before you, and it's your job to protect them. And really, I like the idea of robbers coming in too. You're going to have things that come after these people that are trying to come into your pen and attack your sheep. And are you looking out for that? Are you being cautious of that? Are you looking for false doctrine? And how things might creep in a group. And are you looking to guard that? Because that means you yourself have to be sharp in some way. And how do you get there? Are you looking for those people that are getting taken advantage of and recognizing those people as wolves out there tearing that person down? Not to be holier than thou and take your Bible and go throw it at that boyfriend who's treating that girl like a whatever. But to say, you know what, you're being a bad influence. And here, let me come around you and get you help and get you healing and get you accountability and get you away from that which is not of God. Do you feel that in your teams? Do you feel that with the people God's made you responsible for? I hope so. Acts 20:28. This is Paul, and he is he's moving in Asia Minor, and he's talking to the elders here at Ephesus. Listen to this verse. It's a fascinating verse. It would be a great verse to continue in your life journal this week, maybe, and to reflect upon over and over. I've written it on the board here so that we can do some basic hermeneutics. I know Mikey's doing that class, but for us just to dissect this verse a little bit, I think we'll bring it to new light. So Paul, speaking to leaders, okay, of church. Leaders of church. Listen to this verse. Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseer, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. So I learned a couple things in just looking at this verse right away. Be on guard. What kind of verbiage, grammar is that? Is that a suggestion? No, it's a command. Right. Be on guard. So in other words, do this thing. Be on guard. It's the idea of just being ready. Not being comfortable, but being ready. Doesn't mean you're anxious and freaked out and doing all these kind of things, but you're just ready saying, I'm on guard. For yourselves and for all the flock. Now, a lot of the times I think we can take this word here and forget about it. And we say, oh, I'm all about these people. And we're dying inside, we're rotten inside, we're not healthy inside. And I like the order there. For yourselves and for the flock. So those people you're overseeing. Now, how did they become your flock? Okay? The Holy Spirit, among which the Holy Spirit... Okay, the idea, and I heard this description of the Holy Spirit a couple weeks and I thought it was great. Have you ever seen those buildings that have lights on the bottom that shoot up the side of the buildings, but you can't really ever see where the lights are coming from? That's the Holy Spirit's job in reference to Christ. All he does is magnify Christ for us and lead us and point us and convict us towards Christ. Okay, so among which the Holy Spirit has made you an overseer. So this Holy Spirit, looking to Christ, has said, these people, in light of this man Christ, you're an overseer, responsible for. Be on guard, therefore, for them. To do what? Holy Spirit gave us this role as an overseer. We need to be on guard for ourselves and for the flock. What are the action points on that? To shepherd the church of God. And we're defining some of those things of shepherding today, and hopefully you're going to take those with you. Why is it so important, and for what redeeming value at the end of the day should we shepherd the church of God, be on guard ourselves? The Holy Spirit made this power, which he purchased with his own blood. Just like you can see this, the shepherding idea through the scriptures, you can find the same theme of Christ in the Bible. All scripture points to Christ. Genesis culminates with this guy, Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection. The New Testament looks back on how his influence can make us better for his glory and for our benefit. And so there's this redemptive value. You were bought with a price. The flock which you oversee was bought with a price. Your life is not your own, therefore be on guard. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, oversee and shepherd these folks, because it's what God's called you to do. And so when you've been bought with a price that's not your own, you need to give everything to that. So this very thing of being with people and shepherding people is not a suggestion and not an option, really. You know what I mean? Well, Jared, I'm a new leader. That's okay. There's a progress and a process to this whole thing, and you can start small with maybe one or two people, but God's going to grow you in that. And we recognize that some people are going to hit this thing of life group leader or maybe a ministry team leader, and they're going to shepherd those people for the rest of their days. And that's okay. You shouldn't let the track intimidate you today that we talked about all the way up, because it's not for everybody. That's why he gave gifts to some people. He gave gifts to all believers, but for some this, some that, some this. God may call you to reproduce women for the rest of your life. God may call you to love on students for the rest of your life, lead life groups for the rest of your life. That's okay, because we have a bigger calling, right? To shepherd the church of God, because we've been bought with a price, powered by the Holy Spirit. You guys seeing this theme and how it's working out? Hebrews 13:20. Now the God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord. Just a verse that stamps on the idea of Jesus is our great shepherd. And all our shepherding questions, who should we turn to? Jesus. Where do we find out what he said? In his word. That verse there just to remind you that we have a great shepherd and his word has been given us on how to shepherd his sheep. 1 Peter chapter 5. This is a verse towards elders specifically, but to leadership as well. I think we can carry over the application. 1 Peter 5, 1 through 4. Therefore, I exhort you, the elders among you, you as your fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ and a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed. Shepherd the flock among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, and not for sword gain, but with eagerness. The idea there, one thing, we can kind of get Eeyore mentality a lot of time. Oh man, gotta go to life group. Jane's gonna be there. She's got all these problems. She talks too much. You know, that idea of there, not under compulsion. I gotta do this. It's my thing to do. Man, step back in those moments. Call another leader. Call a coach. Call somebody from the leadership team and just say, I need some help. I'm having a hard time going into this. I feel like I'm doing it under compulsion. And let us walk with you, encourage you, exhort you in that way so you say, you know what? Yeah, Jane's hard. But guess what? God gave me responsibility of Jane right now. It's not forever. Doesn't mean that she has to be my BFF and counseling relationship for the rest of my life. But for this season, yes. And I need help loving Jane when it's hard. I promise you the leadership team will pray for you. Coaches will pray for you. We'll encourage you in that. And we'll keep moving ahead. Verse 3, not yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be examples to the flock. Not so we can walk here and go, I'm a shepherd. See my name badge? Shepherd. I went to the breakout. It means I'm a shepherd. Not that we go tell people that we're doing that, but what? To be examples to the flock. To be examples of those around you. Verse 4, and when the chief shepherd, who do we know that is from Hebrews 13:20? Jesus. When the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. I'm telling you folks, you know, the health and wealth gospel and blessings and prosperity is out there. They're just abused and it's a bit off. But is it fair for us as people to go, I am doing something for a reason and for a blessing in Christ? Yes. You receive the unfading crown of glory. Your reward is God is going to make himself more glorified through you shepherding his people. I can't think of anything better than to say, hey, I was kind of a bright light for God and letting him work through me to shepherd these people. Not that I can go out there and go, rah-rah me, but I can go, rah-rah him. And he gives you that light that will go out. Unfading glory, crown of glory. Interesting. Last thing, last book of your Bible, Revelation, with no S. And I know in your life journals, those are weird things right now, reading through that book, because it's so depressing for a long time about judgments and blah, blah, blah. It's like, just let it stop. And you get to this thing, this part of heaven we're entering into right now, and it's just like, ooh. Can't wait to be there. You know, that personally reflecting my own life journal, I'm like, man, that's going to be a good time. Everything happening the way it should have been. Let's get there. 7:17, look at this. For the Lamb in the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to the springs of water of life, and God will wipe every tear from their eyes. Again, that idea from the beginning, the shepherding mentality that was prayed over Joseph for the people of God now will reign on his throne as the chief shepherd, Hebrews 13:20, for us, wipe away all tears. He's going to lead them to the life, the water of life forever. Do you think that's something God wants us to understand, this idea of shepherding from start to finish? And these are just a select few of verses. Something like 56 times in your Bible, NAS version at least, shepherd shows up. Go do a word study on it and watch it. It's fascinating. How are we doing on time, Coach T? What time is it? Good. Takeaways there on the bottom. Here's some things I want to just offer up, and then I want to let you give me some ideas that maybe we can take away from this. Because at the end of the day, I don't want to... we're going to get specific on some action steps in the next breakout. But for this idea of shepherding, you're like, okay, I hear it. I have a good definition. I see it in Scripture. What does that mean for me? I want us to come up with that. I have a few things, and then we'll get action-oriented down the road. For us, shepherding comes down, you know, in protector, provider, motivator. I want you to pray daily for your people. That's going to be hard, and you're going to forget sometimes, and that's okay. But I want you to strive for that, because there is a work, and like water, Jesus goes where we can't. And prayer does things we can't even imagine. Write your people's name down on index cards. Stick it in your pocket. Stick it in your mirror. Pull it out while you're waiting in line at the bank and just say their names, knowing that you're thinking of them for Christ to work in them. And as you grow, put those names in your life journal. Pull that card out. Look at them. Pray for so-and-so. Get a journal of them. Write things that you hear that pop up in your group down the road. I want you to communicate with them weekly outside of your group. Maybe that's an email, maybe that's a phone call saying, hey, Lacey, I know you're taking the CBEST today. Go get them. You're going to do great. Fire up. Go get them. Lord's made you to do this work. Trust in Him. That's all it has to be. Not like I have to give an hour-long conversation of feeling. That may happen, but you know what I mean? Just communicate outside weekly. That'd be awesome. And if you can, strive to meet one-on-one monthly. Because life groups and ministry teams and student groups, whatever, are going to be great. Okay, you're going to have great experiences, but it's around the coffee table that'll flourish and things will come out that need individual attention. There's lots of times where the shepherd gets a sheep and hits the stick and they run them to a location. Okay, but there's times when that sheep has something in its foot it needs to get taken out of or something in its side and you need to focus on that. And I'll tell you, it's going to take time out of your schedule. It's going to take time out of your family. It's going to be inconvenient at times, but there's a bigger calling, folks. Don't do it at the expense of your health, because that's not what you were called to do. Be on guard for yourselves, but you can always work harder and find moments. Discuss with your significant other on what that could look like. Encourage them to see that, and maybe you can do that time together. Hey, we're going to go make some phone calls for the next half hour tonight after the kids are down or whatever. You know, we're going to email right now. Figure it out. Those are some of the things. Some of you have lots of sheep in your pen, but there's lots of shepherds. Take one group, for example, that was like, the heart of it was, you know what, I don't want to say no to any of these girls. And so I went out and got a superstar to partner with me, and now we have a couple ladies who want to be great shepherds. So what I say, take those people, assign out names, and go shepherd them. Because you can handle four, you can handle four, those people can handle four. You get what I'm saying, at? Divide it up and be okay with that. Now, the apprentice of shepherding role may not be like Sheila's going to do, but she can grow in that. Sheila can help her in that. Okay, so divide up those shepherding roles. Don't feel responsible for too many sheep because this will suffer and you're not doing a good job of this. Start small, you can grow to it. That's why we have these kind of tracks to run on. And we're going to get some coaches that can help you in those times, and some of you may elevate and grow into coaches. Last thing, look for lead sheep. Look for sheep in your flock who are hitting their stride and who are growing and can oversee other people and shepherd down the road. You know what I mean? You know those people and can identify them. We're going to have some people on the team, Lacey and Wendy specifically, that love those kind of people, helping them getting their wheels on as a leader, as a shepherd. And just be looking for that. The idea, I would hope that everything stems in your group and your meeting out of a relationship, the sweet spot of all those three things we ask you to do. There'll be times when you equip and the Life Journal speaking or the curriculum speaking or whatever, and you're equipping and I'm learning something, my mind's being transformed, Romans 12:1. Hopefully a lot of time is encouraging. Way to go. Heard you had this thing and you got through it. Heard you had to have that conversation. I know it was tough, but good job. And reproduce in that. Hey, I really see it in this you. I think you could do that. I think you want to grow to this. How about you lead this at the next group? Okay? And you're going to be all over those circles, but I hope at the center of that relationship is going to happen, that you're going to, the Holy Spirit's power made you an overseer, that you've got to know those people. You can't be far away. You've got to be there with them, walking through, and for that season, those are your people. What other traits, when you hear shepherding, things to do, things you've experienced, let's take a couple of those as we close out that might be inspiration ideas for us.
Genuinely care.
Care. I like it. Don't give them lip service. Good. Yeah. Hey, I suffer from the same mental faux pas that Brad does, and that I'll meet somebody and they're like, hey, I'm like, hey, guy. Okay, and I forget their name or forget about them. And, you know, that makes the best thing anybody can really hear a lot of times is their name. And you can learn 10 names. I can't learn 1,500, but you can learn 10 and learn to call them out. Write it down. There is nothing wrong with having a seating chart that you know that you don't say, okay, get here, but you sit down and you're like, Amy. Jack, okay? And even in that, make notes. I keep a notepad with me at all life group stuff that I do, that I lead. And if somebody says something and conversation's going, I'm like, someone's got a test. Someone's having a hard time with their mama. You know, and I write that down because I'll forget. I'll walk out of there and go, what? I know, hey, you said something. She's like, yeah, my mom died, you know, and I'm like, oh, yeah. You know, if I write it down, it's just going to help me remember, okay? What else?
I have my gals write on an index card, and I go through those cards every day, and I pray. So they are
great. Prayer requests.
Their prayer requests are so that it's not out for the whole group. They don't want it to be, but I know and I can pray for
them. Yeah, great. Good idea. If you like those things, go for it.
Communicate.
And a lot of times, this is where we get troubles. We oversell and underdeliver. Man, we launch, we're like, get your book, be here, it's going to be awesome. And 3 weeks in, we're like, oh, I forgot to call my people and tell them to be here. You know, were we even having it this week? You know, just that idea of you're going to have to fight through this. And it's a discipline, folks. It's not going to be easy. You're not going to be week 10 going, man, I love this. I'm making more time for it. You're going to be like, it's hard and I forgot. And we'll help you get there. Okay, leaders and coaches all the way down. That's a good idea. Communicate. Any others?
Self-assessment.
Okay. What do you mean, self-assessment?
How you're handling, how you're keeping track of your own.
So walk with God.
Yeah.
Yeah. You need to be healthy. Your cup needs to be full so that you can pour out, right? And I'll be honest with you, some of you need to hear that and go, I need to take a break for a while. Hopefully that's not the case right now because we're just launching and get going. But down the road, you know, that could be one of the most healthy things. Chris Baldy and I had to ask a gal last year, say the best thing you could do right now is pull out of everything. She's like, why? Because of this. I don't want to do that. Do it anyway. Well, I can't. Well, we're not going to let you on our team. Okay. She kind of walked out hating us. 2 months came here and said, this is the best thing that's ever happened to me. I remember who God is now. You know, sometimes you got to do that. Good word. Grace. We forget as leaders a lot of time how it was early on for us. That we have problems, you know, and we got a bunch of diseased, broken, lost, confused sheep. And we got to be okay with that. That's a good word, grace. Do you have one, Janine? Ask questions. Yeah, at the end of the day, you guys aren't ultimately, neither am I, God's gift to leading life groups. And I love to ask controversial questions and just kind of lob it out there. Boop, sit back, and then watch them go, you know, and just kind of go after it. Ask questions that provoke thought, and sometimes that takes you a little preparation time and going, how could I ask this in such a way that's not leading, because we all ask leading questions. I'm terrible at it. So ask questions in such a way that's like, or if somebody makes a comment, everybody's agreeing and you see a person over there kind of ruffling a seat. Do you agree with that? Why not? And let them throw it out. That'd be great. These are all really good, all good takeaways for us.
I think we should be gentle too.
Gentle. Gentle. There's a process to everyone.
Sort of becomes where you know your sheep.
Yeah.
The ones that you need to go, no.
There's some you need to beat with a stick.
Yeah. This is really funny because we have sheep.
Yeah.
And so I'm listening to this whole thing going, yeah, literally. There's some sheep that we, to do what they need to do, we put them right next to the bull. So if they don't do what they're doing, they're going into the bull because we need them to brace. So they can be showed.
Right.
There's other ones we have to be very gentle with because of what's going on. And so in the same group you have this. And so as leaders we have to be very careful that we don't go, oh, I need to give this person grace.
Right.
No, you need to count them accountable.
Yeah.
They know.
Yeah.
And it's knowing your sheep. And the one thing I would add to this whole thing is we need to smell like sheep.
Smell like sheep.
If sheep get out, and I'm at right before work or something, I walk in, people are like, "You smell." It's sheep, and sheep have a smell to them that no other animal has. And if you rub against them, you smell like them.
Yeah.
And my kids, I can tell when they've been out working with their sheep because I'm like, "Oh, they're working with sheep, right?"
Right.
Yeah.
That's good. Good work, man. Smell like sheep. With that, that's a good prayer. I want to flip back to Genesis, and I'd like to read this prayer for you guys. I'm going to change it a little bit. I hope it's not blasphemous. I can get rebuked later. I want to read it as if it's you guys, as if the blessing's going out for you. Can I do that as a closing prayer? So you can close your eyes if you want. I got to read, so I'm going to keep them open. Father, thanks that you have been God for all times. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of the men and women, the parents, the leaders in our life. You have been our shepherd, God, all our lives. And to the angel who has redeemed us from all evil, God bless these people. And may his name, Christ's name, live on in them. And the names of those great faithful who had walked before them, may those names remain as well. And God, may these people reproduce and lead sheep and grow into a multitude in every neighborhood on earth. In Christ's name, amen.